Well, the question I'd like to address here is how close was England to absolutism in this period, 1660 to 88? And the first question one needs to ask is, what was absolutism? It's a term that's coined about the end of the 18th century, and it's not obviously used then in the 17th. And although people talked about absolute power as a bad thing, they tended more often to talk about arbitrary government, in which the king was not answerable to anyone. And the obvious example of this to 17th century Englishmen was the France of Louis XIV, which they saw as the absolute opposite of English liberty. And I have a quote here from a man who was briefly Solicitor General under Charles II, Sir Francis Winnington. He said, "The two great pillars of the government are Parliament and juries. It is these that give us the title of free-born Englishmen, for my notion of freedom is this. They are properly so called, who are bound by laws of their own, being tried by men of the same condition with themselves." In other words, I've got three points which come directly from this, and then two others. First is that laws can only be passed and changed by the consent of Parliament. The king cannot make law. Second, taxes can only be levied by the consent of Parliament. The king cannot levy taxes on his own authority. And finally, people cannot be deprived of their property or their personal liberty, imprisoned, without due process of law. And due process of law included the procedures of common law. It included a judiciary who were impartial and independent of the government. And it included, above all, as Winnington said, trial by jury. And this, in practice, implied two other things which Winnington didn't mention. One was respect for the integrity of Parliament. That Parliament's proceedings should not be interfered with by the Crown or the government, nor should elections be interfered with by the government. And secondly, that there should be no standing army. Standing armies were seen as instruments of arbitrary government, and that there had never been a standing army before the 1640s. And these two things about the integrity of Parliament and standing armies reflected recent experience of the 1640s and 1650s. It reflected, in particular, Pride's Purge of 1648, in which the majority of the House of Commons were expelled by the army, and of course it reflected the military rule of the 1650s as well. So we have a little checklist then of five items, which we can now just run through and see how far each of these related to 1660 to 88. And in so doing, we'll see a clear difference between Charles II and James II.